weren't real that great around the country, and they sold me to the Yankees. You know, but I was there, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, and then I was with the Yankees almost my, you know, till I got through playing. And then I went back with them a little later on.
Okay, so you went to the Yankees chain in the middle of your first year, roughly.
Yeah, about, I'm going to say, 5-6 weeks into the season, the Yankees brought me in when I first year I was in baseball.
Okay, and then your next year, 1940, you were with Akron. You had a real
big
year.
Yeah, I went from I went to Eastern Maryland from June on, and then I was to Akron the next following year, and I had a good year there.
Okay, your 42 season, I believe it was. You're the Eastern League most valuable player.
Right.
Real big year.
Yeah, I had a great year.
From that point, though, Uncle Sam got a hold of you.
Uh-huh. Right there, right after the season, I went to service. Yeah, I was in 3 years with old George Patton.
Oh, no kidding. Well, you were decorated at the Battle of the Bulge. What happened there?
Well, I don't know. Just, I mean, that's all war. Anything can happen in war. I don't remember the whole situation. I remembered, but I don't really. I don't think I'm that interested to talk about it.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Anything I do ask you that you don't want to...
understand.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't want to... There were so many people during the war that got decorated, got wounded, and so on, and for the little thing that I did or didn't do is really not... It's important to me, but there's so many people that got hurt, and I don't want to sound like I want a war or anything like that.
I understand. Okay. Well, we'll just omit that. Well, you came back out there in 46, and you spent the season with the Yankees. You were on the protected list for the players in the service?
Yeah, that was, I suppose at the time it was a good rule that they try to do something for the GIs that come home, but in my case, and I'm sure there may other cases, it hurt me because I missed 3 years of baseball already, and I wasn't ready to play for the Yankees because they had we kept 30 players in those days, and I wanted to go back to the minor leagues to see if I can play, and because of the rules, they had waivers on me, and when they put me on waivers, somebody claimed me, so I sat around and missed a full year, almost a full year. I got a little chance to play, but I needed to go someplace where I could play every day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So in a sense, you might say I lost 4 years.
Well, yeah, you had 86 at-bats. That certainly can't get you going, can't get you in a groove or anything.
Yeah.
Well, you did go back to Kansas City and had another big year.
Yeah, well, I didn't get to be playing down there to play real good ball, I think, until late June. You know, I missed all those years.
Sure.
And when you miss that length of time and not doing any play, and it's very difficult to start over again, you know, and get back in your old form if you're able to do it. But
yeah, I'm sure. Well, and at this point, you're getting into your late 20s too. You're not like you were when you're 19, 20 years old.
Well, see, when the Yankees went at that good year, I was put on a 40-man roster, but and I was just a kid, you know. I was going up to the big leagues at 23.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was 23 at that time, 22 or 23. And, you know, that was pretty good. Looked like a good future at that time. But when you missed all that time, why, you had to kind of, in a sense, you might say, start all over again.
Sure. Well, just to the side here, in looking at your stolen base record in the minor leagues, you had a little speed.
I would say for a big guy, I don't know, I suppose you might say didn't have overwhelming speed, but I did steal some bases, not that many to get excited, but for a big guy, I suppose you might say it was not bad.
And that was a time when bases weren't being stolen, too. Okay, you traded to the White Sox. Looked like a big opportunity, and it didn't seem to work out. What happened?
Well, I didn't get much chance to play there. I was kind of caught in the middle between Frank Lane and Jack Onslow.
Uh-huh.
Jack Onslow was hired before Frank Lane, and those two didn't get along. Anyhow, after Frank Lane come, he got me from the Yankees, and Onslow made the statement out in Anaheim, California, that the players that he had. He come from Memphis, and I guess they had a good year there. They had some good ball players, and he made a statement at a breakfast one time at the Chamber of Commerce that these kids got up to the big leagues, and he had to take care of them. And that put me back in left field. Mm-hmm. I didn't get much playing. I did, I don't know how much I played, but I didn't play regular. I played some odd field there and a little bit of first base.
Looks like about half the time, according to the statistics.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, you went back to Sacramento, had another real good minor league season. The Tigers drafted you.
Right.
The Tigers weren't going anywhere at that point. That must have looked like a pretty good opportunity, too.
Well, they were fighting for a pennant. The story I've been told at 1950, and they tried to make a deal for me and with Sacramento, but JoJo White, the general manager, wanted too much for me. So Billy Evans says, "Why should we pay that much for him?" He wanted to give some money and a couple ball players, and says, "We'll take him in a draft." And that's what happened. So they needed somebody, from what they told me in Detroit, they needed somebody to fill in and a pinch hitter. And, you know, I think they lost the pennant by just a few ball games in 1950.
It was a very close one or two games.
So what they needed a player that could come in and deliver once in a while as a pinch hitter and spot player and whatever, whatever. That's what they were going to use me for at the time. And anyhow, they drafted. And then, of course, I stayed there for several years.
JoJo Wright was an old Tiger, and he wouldn't do his old team a favor, huh?
Well, you know, JoJo Wright, you know, he was a general manager, and naturally, when you're making a deal, you're trying to get the best you can for yourself. You know, he's in the minor leagues, and I had a great year out there, and. And he thought I was worth more than Detroit was willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost me for and got much less than he would have otherwise. You know, that's a gambling situation that you got to take once in a while.
Oh, sure. Well, for 3 years, I guess you were the number one man off the bench for the Tigers.
Well, yeah, I did a fairly good job there, you know, just utility player, and I played most all the positions, did some DHing.
The first year with Tigers, you had 34 pinch hit at bats. I'm sure there were several walks in there, so you were probably half the time a pinch hitter. You had good power numbers, and overall produced very well for them up until 54, and you broke your wrist, was it?
Yeah.
And that cost you just about that whole season, didn't it?
That cost me my career.
Yeah, I guess it did. You closed it out the next year with a pinch hit single. Do you remember that hit?
Yeah, I really couldn't play anymore. I lost my power, and I broke my right wrist, and... I come in and pinch hit against Herb Score, and I got a line drive single left field. So I might be the only player that hit 1,000 and went to the minor leagues.
Do you remember how you broke? That's a good way to bow out to. That's a pretty tough pitcher. Do you remember how you broke your wrist?
Yeah, I ran into a wall in Havana, Cuba.
Oh, no kidding.
A fly ball.
Wasn't even in a real game, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a real game, but I was playing in a winter league.
Yeah, but not a major league game.
No, I really wasn't that anxious to go because I had a pretty good year with Detroit, and they kept bugging me down in Havana, and the guy was in the States and chasing me all over, and he made the deal so good that I had to go.
Yeah. Well, you guys weren't making the money they are now. Today, a boy doesn't have to play after the season's over.
No, not even close.
Well, so you, after you, that one at-bat in 55, you went back to the minors?
I went to manage Little Rock, Arkansas in the Southern League for the Detroit Tigers.
And how long did you manage?
I was managing there for a year and a half. I come down. I went down in, I think, late June, and I finished that year and the next year, and then... Lee McPhail with the Yankees got in touch with me, and Lee McPhail is a very fine and honest man, and he used to bring some older guys from the Yankees that played for him, you know, that come up through the Yankee organization, bring it back and put them to work, and he asked me to manage, and I went to Binghamton and stayed there 2 years, and then I went to Richmond in the International League for 2 years as a manager.
Uh-huh.
And then I went troubleshooting for the Yankees for a lot of years.
How long did you stay with them?
Well, God, I can't give you specifics. Let me see. I went with 1955, 1956, Little Rock, 1957, 1958 in Bingham, 1959 and 1960 Richmond, and then in 1961, I was troubleshooting for the Yankees in the minor league department, and I did a little bit of everything there, instructing and so on, so mm-hmm. on, and then I was with them until I went with the Bureau, 1975, when the Bureau come in business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was with the Bureau, and I had to retire because my wife been sick, and real sick, and she had rheumatoid arthritis, and I couldn't do both jobs, and after she passed away, the Tigers put me on.
Okay, you still with the Tigers?
Yeah.
As a scout?
Yeah.
Okay. So you spent a lifetime in baseball, haven't you?
Well, I'm putting in my 52nd year.
Wow, that's a...
This year is my 52nd year in baseball.
Well, let me ask you this. 52 years, you've seen an awful lot of baseball, a lot of players come and go. What's the biggest change in that period of time, other than the money, of course?
Well, number one, from the scouting standpoint, I don't think... The players are, I'm not going to say this about all the players because there's some really good ball players around, some players that really put out, but now with the long-term contracts, players in the old days, I think they had more fun playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the players in the old days were a little more generous to and help the younger guys more so than they do today. There was a lot of compassion, and just to give you a little idea, when the pension started in 1946, each player had to put in $250, and people like myself, and there was many of them, that just come home from service, didn't have any money. $250 was a lot of money.
Sure.
And I had three players from the Yankees, and there was five of us on that ball club, like there was in every ball club, the extra five players, which made it 30. There was three players in the Yankees come up to me, and I'm sure someone went to the others and said, listen, if you don't have the money, listen, we'll put it in for you, and if you ever get it, pay me back. If you don't worry about it. And I'll never forget that.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
And I can remember not too many years ago, and I'm not going to mention the club, but you probably know, when I was in baseball with the Yankees, the first four clubs finish in the money, and everybody gets a little bit, and including the clubhouse boys and the groundkeepers and the bad boys, and one club didn't give the bad boy a quarter.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that, and it was very embarrassing. And I saw that in the paper, and that's the difference, because when I was with the Yankees, and even though we didn't win the pennant a couple years I was there, they didn't let anybody out.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, I've heard some stories, whether true or false, and I won't go into detail. They don't cut a lot of people in.
Yes, I've heard that. I've read it.
So there's so much money being made in baseball today by the players, which I'm not following the players. I'm not following them at all. But I don't think they share as much as they did in the old days.
I think a couple other fellows have mentioned the same type of thing to me, and I believe you've got to be right. When $100,000 is the World Series year, it doesn't seem like it would hurt them to give a couple bucks here and there. But.
Well, you know, what would it cost each player? a couple thousand dollars each player for what the hell is the difference if you get $100,000 or $95,000?
Right. Yeah.
But anyhow, that's the way. That's one of the changes, and, they play. they play a lot of baseball, and there's a lot of good players around like there were in the old days. The only thing I think, in the old days, there was more good ball players on one ball club than there are today. You know, today they might have four or five or six real good ball players. In the old days, they had maybe eight or nine players on the ball club, and some good ball players couldn't make the ball club because there was that many good players.
So this is today you think is a function of expansion?
Yeah.
Just spreading too thin?
Yeah, and they're going to do it again.
Yeah, and get even thinner. Yeah, I was talking to him, who was it, Don Mossy, last week, and he said that back in his day, every team had a couple of good pitchers and a couple other pretty doggone good pitchers. And now, there's maybe one decent pitcher team. That's the guys like Simmons and Gooden, of course. But
That's why you see a lot of big scores. You don't see, you know, Don Mossy, you go to Cleveland and play, and hell, they had early winning Bob Lemon and Garcia, and you know they had a great pitching staff, mm-hmm. and they had a great bullpen. And you know you'd play against Detroit, you got Newhouser and Trucks, and it would be a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know the Yankees and Red Sox, and you know the games used to be 2-1 and 3-2 and 1-0. You don't see that much anymore.
No,
because that's the lack of pitching.
Yeah, and like you just say, they're going to do it again. Who was the best pitcher you saw?
Oh, my God. I'd have to say, Satchel Paige was old. I'm not going to say he was the best pitcher. There was a lot of good. Satchel Paige, I can remember in Detroit, Charlie Kellett, Pat Mullen, and myself went to pinch hit in the ninth inning against Cleveland, and Satchel Paige was old in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw 10 pitches, and he struck three of us out, and not one of us even hit a foul ball.
Oh, boy.
and he was old at that time, but there, you know, you could got to put Bob Feller in that category, and you got the Hal Newhouser, and you got Ellie Reynolds, and Vic Rashi was a good pitcher, Bob Lemon. There was many, many of them in those days.
Yeah, I know it's a question of...
Each club had at least three or four real good pitchers,
mm-hmm.
and it used to be a duel. You know, I mean, hell, Newhouse would pitch against Feller or whatever the case may be, and hell, you had a scrape to get a run.
Yeah, but it was tough.
But it was real interesting.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it was, and I'm sure the baseball overall, and the younger guys probably don't agree, but I think overall the quality of play, simply because that wasn't diluted, was probably better back in
You know, I do want to mention this. Freddie Hutchinson was dead now, and he was a great, great person. Probably had as much respect as any ball player in baseball as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
He knew how to handle people. And he was very competitive when he was a player. And when he had taken over the Detroit job as a manager, he had to coach third base for a week or so during the homestand, and I hit a home run in the ninth inning. The Yankees were fighting for a pennant, and we weren't going anywhere. And I hit a home run in the ninth inning to win a ball game, and that was his first night of managing. And he greeted me at third base, and he ran all the way to home plate with me. And probably why I get such a great kick out of it, I was tickled to death to hit the home run, but I was more tickled to death for Freddie Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Because I had that much respect for him along with everybody else.
I think he had a temper right here, but everybody...
Well, he had a temper, but listen, he didn't hurt anybody. He was that competitive.
Uh-huh. And everybody had the utmost respect.
He was one great, great person.
His death was a big loss to the game.
Yeah, it sure was.
Who was the best, I don't know whether it was a player or hitter, that you saw? Just a hitter, I guess.
Well, I would have to say, I can only speak of the American League that I played against. I can't speak of the National League. I'd have to say, Joe DiMaggio probably was the most complete player I had seen in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I didn't see that much of Willie Mays or Stan Musial. But Joe DiMaggio, I would call him the complete player because he could do everything a little bit better than everybody else. I mean... he had a great arm, he was a great outfielder, he was a good good hitter with power. He was a good base runner. He was a complete player.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there was, you know, that there was a few more, but I would pick, maybe Ted Williams might have been a better hitter. But overall, I would say Joe DiMaggio, all around, was the best player.
A lot of people tell me that, and he was a little before my time, but he must have been something.
Well, he was. He was great. And on top of that, he had a hell of a great attitude.
That's maybe half the battle, and that's something that's not seen today, too. Wrong question. Do you get much fan mail today?
Yeah, I get some. Not a lot. After all, you know, I'm 72 years old, and, you know, I played many, many, many years ago, but I still do get mail. I would say, roughly speaking, I'd say 2-3 times a week.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good amount. Is it mostly autograph requests?
Yeah.
Do you sign?
Autographed or they send pictures or whatever. And I nowadays, I guess the market's that way, but there's some things I don't believe in. The players are signing autographs and charging kids for them.
Yeah.
Well, I never was a good ball player, but I'm never going to charge anybody for anything like that. After all, these are the kids. It's their game. They're the future fans. They're the future ball players, or whatever you want to call it. But in a sense, I suppose I can't fault the ball players because somebody's making a profit out of it. Then the ball players probably want their share. But I think the ball players, particularly the players that are playing now. For me, I think it's wrong. I'm not saying that it's wrong for them, each his own, but I'm against it.
I understand what you're saying, but I think I'm with you. Man's making $500,000 or $3 million or whatever a year, charging for $5 or $10 or even $20 to sign his name. I think
if you charge, a kid did send me $3 one time for an autograph. And
nice.
I send it back to them. You know,
that's good.
You know, well, kids are kids. You know, most of them probably don't have a lot of money. Most kids don't have a lot of money. And, you know, but anyhow, I got a kick out of that. But I send it back to them.
Good. One fellow told me that he gets about like you. I can't think of who it was. I don't remember. Oh, Davey Williams, just played second base with the Giants. He said he'll get three, four, five requests a week. And he signs them, but every once in a while, somebody will send him 10 or 15 pictures to sign. He says he knows these guys are going to be trying to sell these, and he won't sign those. But somebody sends him a baseball card or a picture or something, he'll always sign those and not worry about it.
Well, I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the people's game. You know, they're the ones that really pay the salaries for the players.
Oh, yes.
Huh?
No other way around that. One way or the other, those of us who go to the games are paying for it. If you were to go back, 52 years ago, would you be a baseball player again?
Well, I'd have to say yes on that because that's all I know. You know, I spend my lifetime in baseball, and it's been a very exciting life. It has its ups and downs, and you know, you go for four, you're on a bench or whatever the case may be, and it's a very educational, and you really meet there's some really wonderful people in baseball, and they stick together pretty close, particularly as you get a little older, you get to thinking about all the fun you had and all the good guys. And you see, now one thing that bothers me, and of course I've been fortunate, the good Lord's been good to me. Number one, I come home from the war. Number two, I'm healthy, and mm-hmm. I've been able to stay in the game. But I'm sure you heard this story a long time, many, many times, and I'm not referring to myself because I'm still making a living out of baseball. But you got great guys, you know, some great ball players, good ball players. A guy I just saw in a paper not too many months ago, Kenny Keltner, was a great ball player for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And the little pension that he's getting, his wife is in a nursing home, and he said if it wasn't for Social Security, he'd probably have to go on relief. Now, they did give us a pretty good raise this last time, but how many guys are left that are in my category, you know, that are 65, 75 years old, where they could have done that several years ago.
Right.
And make it easier on those guys that started this pitching and some real good ball players. And that, I think, is a sour note in most of the old-timers. Like I say, for me, I never made a lot of money, and I was able to pay my bills. But I think about all the guys that played baseball that were good ball players in the old days and played in the big leagues for 8 or 10 or 12 years are getting very little on their pension.
Yeah, that's a shame. A couple of instances that fellows have told me about, Clint Courtney's widow a few years ago, I don't know what the situation is now, but she was receiving like $110 a month from pension, and I don't remember who, Dick Fowler's widow, it may have been, was receiving like $95 a month.
Well, I think now, I don't know. I really don't know the rules anymore, but I do know that as of late, with this new contract that the players got, they did up that to a certain degree. How much, I don't know, but this is what I'm talking about. If the players would have done that years ago to give these people a chance, once you get a little older, to have a little better living.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was fair, because the old timers paid to get into it, started it early, when worked his tail off, and to work like hell for the old timers to get a little more money. He's been working for years, and it's, you know, it just didn't it happened, but it happened a little bit too late.
Yeah, a lot of the guys are gone. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm talking about.
There's
an old saying, go smell the roses while you're alive.
That's right. That's right. It's awful hard.
And yeah, that's the way the society is, and the baseball players, that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a reflection of society in general. It's not something particular to the ball players. Do you have any regrets from your career?
No, I don't think about it anymore, but I did it when I was a little younger. I thought I should have been a better ball player. You know, for a big guy, I didn't have good speed, but I run pretty good. I didn't have any outstanding tools, but outside I had some power, but I had, you know, about average. And I just didn't, I think the wartime hurt me. I'm not complaining about that at all. Number one, I had to go to war like everybody else. And I come home, that's number one. But I think I should have been a better ball player. After I come home from the war, I really never got a chance to play that much. You know, I did a pretty good job as a utility player, but every year I played in the minor leagues, I had pretty good years. And when you got to the big leagues, you platooned or whatever the case may be. I suppose the records speak for themselves. They say couldn't hit right-handers. Well, I never got that much of a chance to hit right-handers.
If you don't get a chance, it's awful hard to find out, isn't it?
We'll never know.
Yeah.
But I thought I had should have been a better ball player. Maybe I'm not blaming anybody for that. You only blame yourself.
Well, that's right. Blaming somebody else just makes you bitter and doesn't get you
over alibis.
Yeah.
You got to blame yourself for anything that happens. But I've enjoyed the game, and I met a lot of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. I had when the Bureau started, a bunch of us were in Jacksonville, and everybody, I don't know what the hell was going on up there, I think a tournament or something. Every day, telephone will ring, three or four people or whatever, says, well, I just got let go. And so Bill Fisher, that's with the Red Sox, and I was really one hell of a guy and funny, and I had a lot of laughs with that guy, and I had taken him to dinner one night, and he says, Steve, he says, you know, you're really happy, you must have a job. And I said, Fisher, I don't have a job. I don't know. I have a job, but I don't know whether I'll have one when I get home, you know, with the telephone will ring. And I says, listen, the only reason I want to take you to dinner, you and I had a lot of laughs together. And If it wasn't for baseball, I'd never have the opportunity to have those laughs with you. Because you may get fired, or I may get fired, we both may get fired. But at least, I just wanted, this is my way to say thank you for all the laughs and what it takes for you, because if it wasn't for baseball, I'd have never known you.
Well, that's great. That's a great attitude. It's one that everybody should have, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I took Jack Tye to a ball game one day. Jack Tye is an older guy, and his wife died shortly after my wife died, and I took him to a ball game about a month ago. He's 77, he's going to be 78. And I want to tell you something, he was like a little kid. He got a chance to be around some ball players. There was a couple scouts there. Cy Williams was working for the Tigers a long time, and he and Jack been together a long time, and he was the ball game, and he was like a little kid. And this is what happens when the old guys get together. You know, there's a lot to talk about. You don't see too much. You don't see them too often, and it's exciting.
A lot of memories. That's good. Well, Steve, I've really enjoyed this very much. Would you like to see a copy of this before I submit it to the magazine?
Well, not really.